Okay. It's not exactly like splitting the atom or inventing penicillin, but a friend and I may have inadvertently invented a game. I was sending messages over Twitter, the social media network, with Austin Titchener of the Reduce Shakespeare Company. Austin noticed we had begun to reduce the name of famous rock groups. The Beatles became the Beats. Then They Might Be Giants became They Are Midgets. Then there was Tom Petty and the Just Friends, the Huh. Austin Titchener of the Reduce Shakespeare Company joins us now from the studios of WUIS in Springfield, Illinois, where the group is on tour. Austin, thanks for being with us.
Oh, you're welcome, Scott. Thank you.
This game has grown, hasn't it?
It's really grown. And it started innocently enough because I had just tweeted that I was leaving on a jet plane, don't know when I'll be back again, which admittedly is a rookie move for a tweeter. I'm a brand new tweeter, and that's like a comedian making airplane jokes. But you, like a good improviser, yes-anded me and said, oh, reduced Yarrow, which led to, oh, right. That's right, reduced rock bands. Peter and Paul. Peter and Paul. The Kingston Duo.
Right.
Two Dog Nights, San Francisco Gay Man Soloist.
That was my favorite. You
That was
you've
your
got to give the Huey Lewis one you have.
Huey Lewis and the Soundbite.
That's absolutely my favorite. And then we progressed, have progressed to reduced musicals, West Side Anecdote being obvious.
Yes. And yours was classic, but it took me a while to get it. Rhode Island.
Yeah, that's from Oklahoma, yeah.
Yeah, it helps if you sing it. You're doing fine, Rhode
Island.
Island.
And then it's grown to movie titles. Of course, Raging Calf.
Emergency Medtech
Yes.
Zhivago, Bridge Over an Intersection.
Yes,
Some
that's
people,
right.
several people were contributing their 2009 Oscar editions, you know, the odd phrase of Ben Snapp.
Yeah.
The Browser, Springer Agnew.
That was a good. That was very clever. I forget who did that one, but yeah.
Well, and it's just interesting how people have taken the idea of reduction, and it's not just, you know, reducing the number. It's sort of getting to the essence of the story and making something important less important. Dude, where's my bike?
You know what I thought was a really brilliant one? A guy, Gary, in Philadelphia, I believe. Think about this, Pride of the Expos.
I loved that. And I'm not even a baseball fan, and I loved that one.
Thank you very much, Austin.
Oh, that was very well. This whole process has been just enormous fun.
Austin Titchener joined us from WUIS in Springfield, Illinois, and you can follow Austin and the Reduced Shakespeare Company at twitter.com/reduced, and you can reach me, NPR Scott Simon, on Twitter, all one word. This is NPR News.
No, it's not. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever it is, wherever you are. Thanks for subscribing, streaming, or downloading and listening to us on your computer or MP3 player. I'm Austin Titchener, one-third of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, and you're listening to this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast, number 162, Why We Tweet. Twitter is the social networking service that allows you to tweet little mini blogs of 140 characters or less. Twitter's essentially the status update feature from Facebook without all of Facebook's bells and whistles. You sign up for a Twitter account and start following people who share your interests, and people start to follow you. Your community expands, friendships are formed, information is exchanged, games are played, ideas are debated, news is chronicled, seasons change, empires rise and fall. Basically, Twitter is reduced blogging, which makes it perfect for the Reduced Shakespeare Company. We've been tweeting since March 2009 and have encouraged people to follow us because Twitter, like our website, our podcasts, our live performances, our books and recordings, and our fan pages on Facebook and MySpace is fun, yes, but also because it's a business tool, not only for small theater companies like us, but larger companies around the world. And in fact, some larger companies have employees dedicated to nothing but social networking. And when we were in Charlotte, North Carolina last fall, we spoke with a proud proponent of social networking and this thing called e-commerce.
I'm Mary Catherine Durr. I'm the e-commerce and social media manager for the North Carolina Blumenthal Performing Arts Center.
Wow. Well, before we talk about what the hell it is you do, Can I ask, how did you get this job? Have you trained your entire life to be an e-commerce and social media manager?
Yes, I trained my entire life for a job that did not exist until about 6 months ago.
Wow. Well, what do you do for the Blumenthal here in Charlotte?
I manage everything on our website, any type of sales that go on top of it, content, mm-hmm. and then I also manage our viral marketing.
Okay.
And that would be the social media, Facebook, MySpace, Twitter, anything that's up and coming, Digit, Delicious, all of those things. Wow. I help build the viral marketing for our shows.
And is this stuff that you knew about coming into the job, or you learned it here?
Yes and yes. A lot of it were things that I was already on top of and doing personally, uh-huh. and enjoyed and saw the ability to make business out of it.
Okay.
And when the Blumenthal posted this job, mm-hmm. I applied because I was like, this is perfect.
Well, so obviously you believe in the power of the viral marketing. What is it? I mean, we're talking about specifically Twitter this week, but I have begun to use Tweet as the sort of generic, I got to get a press release out, so I'm going to tweet about it. And that means to me, I'm going to tweet. I'm literally put something up on Twitter. I'll put something up on Facebook. I'll talk about it on the podcast. I'll put a headline on our website, reducedshakespeare.com. It's become the generic for me. Is that how do you think of it?
Yes, it's become a great way to reach out and touch the masses mm-hmm. without being in their face all day long,
mm-hmm.
because you're connecting with people who have similar interests to you that are interested in what you have going on. And you have to say it in 140 characters or less, right. So you're not bogging down everything.
Well, and they've chosen to follow you, so they can also choose to ignore you if you get too annoying.
But it's a great way to also find out what they really want, because then you have a direct connection with them.
Right.
For example, this week, my Twitter account was misfiring, and I was retweeting everything twice without knowing it.
Oh, boy.
So I got a really nice direct message. Hey, did you know you're tweeting everything twice?
Mm-hmm.
No, give me an hour and I'll figure it out. Okay, is it better? Yes, thank you. Thanks for the heads up.
Well, and what kind of response do you get from your Twitter folks? I mean, because most of the stuff I think I've noticed, at least on your Blumenthal account, it's all business. It's fun business, yeah. But it's all,
right.
We've got a show coming up and we've got a link here and we've got a special offer for tickets. What kind of response do you get? Does that kind of stuff get retweeted or...
Yes, we've been very fortunate. The position is relatively new, so the Twitter account is relatively new, and we've been really fortunate with retweets, getting things up and out there, and we've actually had success with putting special offers out for just our Twitter and Facebook followers.
Right.
And we're starting to see the conversions from clicking on the link to actually buying the tickets or attending the events that are specially offered. For example, Twitter and Facebook, we have like tweet ups,
okay.
And those would only be available if you had the link from Twitter or Facebook.
Right. And do you have the same amount of Twitter followers as Facebook followers? Do you have more Facebook followers?
We have more Facebook followers because our Facebook account was created first.
Yeah.
Twitter is coming slowly but surely, and we're really focusing on the Charlotte metro. About, you know, 100 miles from Charlotte is probably the most somebody would travel for a show on a given night,
right.
Unless it's a Friday, Saturday night show. So our Twitter followers aren't moving as fast. Because there's only, 7 million Twitterers in the nation, so I'm looking at 0.5%.
Right.
So, but I'm happy with the response we're getting from them.
Well, and there might be some overlap as well.
Yes. Exactly.
People who follow you on both platforms. So you said that you can track how many people click through on the offers. How do you do that?
Bitty right now is the tool we're using because it does track that, and mm-hmm. it also tracks any retweets on that.
Okay.
So it'll show you anyone that's retweeted or tracked or sent your link around.
Mm-hmm.
And then Google Analytics also has the tools available that you can give it your link, and it will follow it all the way around.
Oh, nice. So you can follow the link, and then you can follow whether people clicked on the link, and then you can follow whether people actually bought a ticket from clicking on the link.
Correct. And a lot of our links are special, so they're coded specifically anyway for the Twitter link.
Mm-hmm.
So we know that if 4 tickets were purchased, the only way that link was out there was Twitter or Facebook.
Oh, I see.
So somebody had to either get it off our Twitter account and email it to someone,
right.
Or click through it.
Oh, right. I see. Yeah, so no matter how somebody found it, you know that you can tell where it originated.
Correct.
Yeah. And what are your tweet ups like? The social aspect of social networking.
Well, we've actually been really lucky because the center already has 3 affinity groups. There's a teachers group, there's a young professionals group, and then there's the out on the town, which is our gay, lesbian, and we're using those to push our events. Okay. So, for example, Tuesday night was an informants for South Pacific. Mm. Well, we pushed that event not only through an email to the Club Blue members, but through Facebook and through Twitter and MySpace. Hey, don't forget about this. Right. Young professionals, here we have it. And, you know, it's fun. Cocktails and food. What's not to like?
I mean, the Reduce Shakespeare Company has always been about interacting with the audience from its early days of the Renaissance Fair. Since it's something we continue on stage now, we continue that act by going out in the lobby. So, I mean, for us, we use Twitter and Facebook and the podcasts and email newsletters and whatever, because it's like when we stand in the lobby there at the Booth Playhouse, you know, there's only one exit. People have to walk by us, but we play some theaters where they don't, where there are like eight exits and we can't stand at every exit. But doing the Twitter and Facebook and podcasts and everything else is like standing at all the exits. So you can talk to your audience.
Well, and I think it also makes you more approachable because your audience feels like they have a direct conversation with you. Mm. So therefore, they can give you feedback, or they're so excited and they create their own viral marketing because they might follow you and their 15 friends don't. But then all of a sudden, they're so excited you're coming. You've got 15 friends at your new show who are now converted fans because you had somebody that you took the time to have a conversation with.
Well, and we met a new fan via Twitter the other night. She was sitting in the front row. We did a shout out to her during the show. Turns out she was the college roommate of another long-term fan, you know, who finally got to see us live for the first time. So there is that was a pure example of viral marketing at work.
And that's our goal with what I'm doing with the center, is working on our viral marketing and creating those connections and get those moving.
Dude, I want your job.
It's a lot of fun.
This is Stu Levitan from Books and Beats with Stu Levitan on Madison's Progressive Talk, the mic, 92.1. And you are listening to the Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast.
Where can you see the RSC? This month, you can see us at Brookhaven College in Dallas, Texas, on January 21st, the hometown and state of Matt Rippey. Then in February, you can see us all over California with performances in Saratoga, Pasadena, Santa Rosa, and Sonoma, Reed Martin's hometown. Then we head off to New York City, just like I pictured it, in March. Then back to California, Missouri, Kansas, Nebraska, New Hampshire, New York, New Jersey, two cities in Virginia. Then back to both San Diego and the Kennedy Center in Washington, D.C. this summer. Go to ReduceShakespeare.com for specific venue and ticket information. Now, it's perfect timing that we're talking about why we tweet this week, because this week the nominations opened for the 2010 Shorty Awards. The Shorty Awards honor the best producers of short, 140 characters or less, real-time content on Twitter. And you can nominate your favorite people that you follow on Twitter in any one of a dozen official categories, ranging from advertising to apps to art, brand, celebrity. You can nominate at Reduced, the Reduced Shakespeare Company, in the cultural institution category, because there doesn't seem to be a theater category. You can also make up your own categories, but really vote for us in the cultural institution category. As of this recording, we are third behind the Royal Shakespeare Company. I don't know why they would be nominated for a shorty. Surely the Reduced Shakespeare Company is more short than the Royal Shakespeare Company. So we are third. Thank you all for your support. Go to shortyawards.com. Now, many of you may be thinking, all right, everybody, shut up about this social networking nonsense. Well, that's how we felt, too. It took us a long time to wrap our brains around the value of all this, some of us longer than others. So on this whole issue of social networking, interconnectiveness, I know, Matt Rippey, we sort of had to kind of drag you a little bit kicking and screaming into this idea of it.
Being the web guy, you would think that I would be into social networking. You think that, like, I would be the one leading us down that path. I run the website. I know how to build sites. I know about the social networking. I just don't do it. I finally, thanks to you, set myself up for twittering, and I have tweeted maybe a dozen or so. But even that makes me feel bad because, you know, I don't email people, I don't phone people, and I don't really tweet often enough. And now I feel especially bad. What are you doing to me? I feel bad. Like, tweeting is like walking into a party, right? Walk into a party, and it's a cocktail party, especially like an LA-type cocktail party where people only talk in short little sound bites. But I feel like the way I use Twitter is like walking into a cocktail party, having short quips to say, but wearing earplugs. Because I don't follow anybody, you know, and I feel bad about that. It's not really a party then, is it? It's just a monologue.
But there was something about, you said there's value to all this social networking that's tweeting about the democratization of media. And what does that mean?
Yes, well, see, now that side of it does fascinate me. I have, and this is part of the man half of my man-childness, is that I'm very... politically aware and interested, and so I'm always doing what Noam Chomsky calls I practice what he calls intellectual self-defense. I'm always suspicious of anything that I see or hear in the news, in a paper or on TV, so I'm constantly double-checking, cross-referencing. So in that respect, I love social networking because it's been co-opted by democratic movements. I mean, like, Twitter in and of itself is such a valuable tool. I think we all saw that when the protester was killed in Iran earlier this year. Now, that would have been slow to spread. The news of that shooting would have been slow to spread around the world had it not been for Twitter. Right. Someone at the protest uploaded a picture. Before anyone could do anything about it, it had spread, and then we saw, what happened then. And I'm not sure that we ever really got to the bottom of it, but at least the initial event spread around the world fairly quickly. And it's in those initial moments that information can be very cloudy and especially muddy. So I think it's a valuable tool in that respect. And, of course, we're seeing that the powers that be are recognizing that tweeting is a useful tool for protesters, and just recently we saw a guy arrested for tweeting information about movements of protesters, and apparently some of these protesters engaged in some violent activity, and so he was actually done for having aided and abetted a violent protest. So,
wow.
You know, I think it's going to take a few years before we figure out how to handle this. It's fascinating to see how it works, and in the meantime, you know, I'm sorry that I can't think of more funny things to tweet, but...
that's okay. I mean, it needn't always been. The nice thing about Twitter, the thing that was perfect for Twitter and the Reduced Shakespeare Company is that Twitter is literally reduced blogging.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I'm the one who does most of the tweeting for the Reduced Shakespeare Company, and but they're all in these short little bursts because I don't have the time or energy or interest in doing more extensive blogging, because really, who cares? I mean, the podcast is really our blog, and it's an audio blog. So the tweeting was sort of perfect to not only engage in funny dialogues with our followers, but also, you know, just point people towards our website when there's new information. We just tweeted about a new performance date in Northern California. That dialogue, it is really a great thing for dialogue. And the other thing I was just going to say in terms of the following and what you were saying about the democratization of media is that I find that my Twitter stream, well, that's just dirty, but it's the first time Mick Orff has understood anything that we've said this entire conversation.
He's been talking Chinese for 10 minutes to me there, and then all of a sudden he started stream, and I'm like, oh.
Twitter stream.
He said stream, Beaver.
but I follow comedians, I follow, you know, sort of internet geeks, I follow, and I also follow journalists, and it's fascinating. One of the journalists I follow, Mark Noller, is with CBS News, and he's part of the White House press pool, so he's constantly tweeting about, you know, the president's, you know, daily activities, where they are, where wheels up on Air Force One, we're flying into here to do this, Obama just said these things today, and there's a couple of other journalists who are also constantly tweeting about these things, like in Iran. But then the other thing is that these tweets get picked up and retweeted, in the parlance of the Twitter, retweeted by just normal folks. You know, normal, I follow some followers of the RSC. I have followed them back. And they will pick up the Twitter baton, you know, and sort of retweet it and pass it on to others. And so that kind of important information, not stupid information like where the RSC is playing next, but important information can get spread. I think of it as like the old ticker feed, or like, you know, you see all those old movies of a banker, you know, reading off the stock ticker in his office. That's what it feels like to me. It's this flow of information of not only what's important in the world, but also what's in the cultural zeitgeist, what's on the top of people's minds.
Which is why the way you use Twitter is exactly correct, because you're passing on ideas that you discover, and the only way to do that is to put yourself out there, follow people, and find the time to read them, and then find the time to retweet the ones of value. And so, I mean, the way you use it, you're a straight-A student. In fact, it all comes together. Richard Dawkins, several years ago, started talking about memes. Memes, like a gene, it's a unit of cultural information that's passed on between humans. And I suppose this is a better way to spread memes, because it's more exact. And like Dawkins says, there are good memes and there are bad memes. And a meme is a terrible thing to waste.
That's it for this week's Reduce Shakespeare Company podcast. There's something to be said for the concision of the less than 140 character limit on Twitter. It took us just about 20 minutes to say what we said in our signature summary tweet, which is, brevity is the soul of twit. Send us your reasons for tweeting or for not tweeting via Twitter or via email to feedback@reduceshakespeare.com. You can interact with other fans at our website, reduceshakespeare.com, and our Reduce Shakespeare Company fan page at facebook.com. You can also find us on MySpace, become a subscriber to our YouTube channel, or, as always, become a twit. Follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/reduced. You can also find easy links to all these social networks at our website, reducedshakespeare.com. Thanks, as always, to webmaster Matt Rippey, big twit Matthew Croak, music by John Weber and GarageBand, and briefly, Rodgers and Hammerstein. Our random fan shout-out this week goes to Miss Wall 2005. No reason, it's just random. Special thanks to Stu Levitan from Books and Beats on the mic, the Air America station in Madison, Wisconsin. Also thanks to Mary Catherine Durr from the Blumenthal Center in Charlotte, North Carolina. You can follow the Blumenthal Center at twitter.com/Blumenthal Shows. And special thanks to Scott Simon, who you can follow at twitter.com/NPR Scott Simon, for having me on NPR's Weekend Edition Saturday, just a week after we started tweeting. Your results may vary. Finally, thanks very much to you for listening. I'm Austin Titchener, 162/486th of the Reduced Shakespeare Company. This podcast is a production of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, reducing expectations since 1981. Go to reducedshakespeare.com for performance dates, actor bios, email newsletters, and so much less. So much less. So much less. So much less.